Okay, Bible and Daily Lifers, here we are. We are going through the New Testament in a year. And we are in Matthew. We're in Matthew chapter 26. So that means we're pushing towards the end of a gospel. Would have done a complete gospel. So there's an awful lot here, so we'll see how far we can get and what we can do. It says, when Jesus finished saying all of these things. Now, the things that he's saying here are things about the end. Chapter 24 and chapter 25. Where they had asked Jesus, what will be the, when will these things happen, the coming down of the temple and this sign of your coming in the end of the age, when will these things happen? And Jesus goes on this red letter discourse. If you have a Bible that has red letters, all of the words of Jesus are in red, and those two chapters are just about completely red. It's just Jesus discoursing about what will happen at the end. We call that eschatology, the study of last things. So when Jesus finished saying those things to his disciples up there on the Mount of Olives, he said this to his disciples, chapter 26, verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, as you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. Jesus is predicting, prophesying, declaring really his death. It's going to happen. This is why Jesus came. Jesus came to die for our sins, be resurrected from the dead, ascend into heaven, never to die again. So as you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. The chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest. Now, that's an interesting note that the high priest had a palace. He's just a religious leader. It's the high priest doing it with his own palace. Because of this, many of the religious leaders in the day were thought to be a little bit distant from the people. Well, I guess so. They were in the palace. And his name was Caiaphas. And they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. They wanted to do it on the down low, when nobody was looking, nobody could see. Well, a little difficult with Jesus. He's pretty popular right now and try to do anything secretly. But they wanted to take him secretly and kill him. But they did not want to do it during the festival, they said, or there might be a riot among the people. Well, why would there be a riot among the people? Because the people liked Jesus a lot. The common people liked Jesus. And they didn't want to do it on the Passover. That's an important point to make, that they did not want to do it on the Passover, but Jesus was going to be crucified on the Passover. In fact, when you go into the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, the people of Israel were delivered by the blood of the Lamb. The story was that they were in bondage in Egypt for 400 years, and the way that they would escape the bondage was that they were to slay an innocent lamb. That's the substitutionary death. The lamb dies for your sins. The innocent dies for the guilty. And you were to take the blood of that lamb and you were to put it on your doorpost 3 times. And it said when the angel of death came, the angel of judgment came, if the blood was on your door, it said, I will pass over you. That's why they call it the Passover. Well, it was the innocent lamb that saved everyone. Faith in the blood of the innocent lamb saved everyone on the Passover. So Jesus was going to be crucified on the Passover because he is the Passover. So although they wanted to do everything they could do to not have it happen on the festival, because there's so many hundreds of thousands of people gathered in Jerusalem, and they didn't want to do it then in front of all of the people, that's when it's going to happen, which is amazing. They don't want to do it, and that's when it's going to happen. So that's a miracle in and of itself. Verse 6, while Jesus was in Bethany in the home of Simon the leper, well, he probably wasn't a leper anymore, or they wouldn't all be in his house. Lepers had to quarantine. Lepers had to stay away from people, and they had to cry out that they were unclean. So this must have been a guy who was a leper and now is healed, and probably healed by Jesus. So he was staying in the home of Simon the leper, and a woman came to him with an alabaster jar, a very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. Well, why would she have a jar of expensive perfume? They didn't have banks. They didn't have safe deposit boxes. They didn't have fireproof boxes that they put underneath their beds And so many times you would collect something valuable in, like, perfume in a jar, and you would keep it. This would be your rainy day fund, so to speak. And she takes this valuable perfume, and she pours it on Jesus' head. She spends everything she has. Oh, we don't know if it's everything. I shouldn't say that. But she spends an awful lot. She is extravagant in her worship of Jesus. She takes it and she pours it on his head. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. They were like, why are we wasting money like that? Why are we wasting money on the worship of Jesus? They asked. This perfume could have been sold for a high price and given to the poor. Well, Jesus was aware of that. He was aware of their thoughts. Is that the good news or is that the bad news? He was aware of their thoughts, and he said, why are you bothering this woman? She's done a beautiful thing for me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. So ministry to the poor is a perpetual ministry of believers and of the church. More so believers. It's given to believers to take care of the poor in their midst, which is really wise because you get to decide what's going on and, you know, why are they poor and what's happening. And so you do it individually. It's an individual thing. And he said, the poor you will always have with you, but you'll not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare for my burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Well, two big things there, and we might just pass over them if we're reading casually. Number one, Jesus said the account of what's going on right there on the spot of this woman pouring perfume on him is going to be told throughout the whole world. What world? Europe, Asia, Africa, North America, South America, even into Antarctica. This is going to be told everywhere. And we are telling it right now. How fabulous is that for the word of God and the foreknowledge of Jesus? You know, he knows everything from the past, the present, and the future. And we're telling it now, and the gospel will go to all of the world. You see, that's what it's saying there. That's the implication, is that this will go to all of the world. Well, then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, he went to the chief priest and he asked, what are you willing to give me if I turn him over? What will you do? And they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. And from then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. Well, this is the fulfillment of a prophecy where Jesus would be handed over for 30 pieces of silver. And that 30 pieces of silver would be used to buy a potter's field. The potter's field is where sort of people that didn't have anybody to bury them, didn't have any family to bury them or any family plots, they would be buried there. Well, the prophecy comes to pass exactly as Jesus' life here and Judas turning him over. So now we have verse 17. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, on the Passover back in Exodus, they were supposed to leave and they weren't supposed to have bread that had leaven in it. And then leaven comes to mean a lot of things in the scripture, some pictures of sin and some other things. But they had unleavened bread. And this was the feast of the Passover. Now you can see here that's a several-day feast. The disciples came to Jesus and they asked, where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover? And he said, well, go into a city to see a certain man and tell him the teacher and say, the teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house. So this seems to be something that Jesus had prearranged with whoever this certain man is. And they went there and they did it. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. They went there to make the Passover meal. And there were certain prescriptions, certain ways that they would do it, because everything that happens at the Passover meal has spiritual significance and spiritual meaning. When the evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. And they were all sad. And they began to say to one another, it won't be me. And Jesus said, the one who dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it was written. Jesus is in this chapter talking an awful lot about the fact that he's going to the cross to die. They're not seeing it, but he keeps saying it. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. And then Judas, who would betray him, He said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Rabbi means teacher. And he said, "Oh, no." He said, "Just as you said. It's just as you said." And while they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, the word thanks we get our word Eucharist from, Jesus breaks the bread, gives thanks. He broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "And take, this is my body." Now, this is when we do our communion services, the Lord's table, whatever it is that we might call it. And then he took the cup that he had given, and he said to them, "Drink it, all of you. This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." This blood of Jesus can cover everybody's sins everywhere, in all places, at all times, no matter what kinds of sins they were. And he said, "I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine again until I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom." And then they sang a hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives. I wonder if Jesus was the one leading that hymn. Now, there were certain hymns that they would sing at this time of year. So we can look those up in the Psalms and know what particular Psalms those were for the time of the year. But they're singing a song with Jesus. And I'd like to think that Jesus is the one who leads it. Where Jesus said, let's sing that hymn now. One more thing and we will leave it there. We can't go through all the rest. We're only like halfway through this chapter. So try to read the rest of the chapter. But Jesus said to them, "This very night you will all fall away from me on account of me." This was also prophesied. Here's the prophecy. Taken from Zechariah, just like the pieces of silver. "I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've risen, I'll go ahead of you into Galilee." And Peter says, "Even if all fall away on your account, I never will." Yeah, right. "Truly I tell you," Jesus said, "this night before the rooster crows, you'll disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I'll never disown you." And all of the other disciples, they jumped in and they were all saying the same thing. "Oh, no, we'll never, ever do that." Well, Peter's going to end up in this chapter denying him three times. Because when Jesus says something, it's going to happen. So Bible and Daily Life, we'll just continue to move on and get through a gospel. And then we'll go into another gospel and see a different viewpoint of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, bless you guys. Bible and Daily Life. Find us all over the place. Bless